My topic for this morning is risky invitations. And actually, my topic for this morning is I dare you saying yes to risky invitations. In June, we've been talking about imagination. That's been our power or our gift for the month. And so we're going to bring that in for a landing this month, this week, no pun intended, talking about imagination. The book that I'm using for the year is The 12 Powers of Man by Charles Fillmore, and kind of the supplemental book is How to Use Your 12 Powers by William Wartsch. And if you've been with me during the month, you might remember William Wartsch says that imagination is the projector of your potential and vision beyond appearances. To me, imagination is also that natural urge, that divine discontent, that yes, we see a situation that maybe doesn't work for us anymore, or we see a situation that could be bigger, that could be better, and we have that divine discontent to say, yeah, this is okay, but I'm ready to take it to the next step, whatever that it is. And maybe that's in our financial good, maybe that's in our relationships, maybe that's in where we live, whatever it is, it's that oomph behind the appearance that takes us to the next step. Sometimes included with that imagination, immediately after that thought coming from our imagination, is our ego that says, you're too old for that. You're too young for that. You don't have enough for that. You're not enough for that. That would be way too scary. We've never done that before. Do we want to risk that? What would happen if something happens? That's going out on a limb. Do we allow ourselves to go out on a limb? It takes little or no imagination to do the same thing day after day, week after week, year after year, decade after decade. And sometimes when we get that divine discontent, we get that tap on the shoulder, we get that idea in our imagination, it can be kind of scary. But it's always been this way. But we've always done it this way. There's the invitation to do it differently, to see it differently. Listening to and acting upon this imagination requires change, which can be a really scary C word. I found a book one time, and I don't know where it came from, but the title was so wonderful. Change is good. You start. How often do we look at a situation, this doesn't work for me, this hasn't worked for me for a long time, I absolutely know I need to do something about it, but doing something about it requires change. The urge to change can be a risky invitation. And so that's what we're talking about this morning. Life is just the most amazing thing. We were visiting with my roommate from college, who was also the best man at my wedding, and he and I had no idea when we knew each other in 1976 that we had way more in common than we thought, because it turns out that Jerry and I have been together almost 30 years, and he and his partner have been together almost 30 years. So who would have dreamed that at that time that we had that in common as well? But we were talking about this teaching, and he said, and he totally got it. He was raised Episcopal. I was raised Lutheran, as you know, but had done a lot of studying in world religions and so forth, and he's familiar with religious science and New Thought. And he said, you know, I have a friend who is in that same teaching as well. I should connect the two of you. So we connected on Facebook, and his friend is Robert V. Taylor, the author of A New Way to Be Human. This is an absolutely wonderful book. Robert V. Taylor was born and raised in South Africa and was friends with Desmond Tutu. And so he tells stories, he shares stories in the book about that experience and about the experience of being human and looking at this thing called humanness in a new way. And one of the things he talks about in the book is, and I love the concept of this, is risky invitations. In the book he says, and I believe this is on the cover of your bulletin this morning. There we go. It will be in a minute. Starting out of the book. Risky invitations interrupt the imagined or assumed course of your life, raising the stakes right where you struggle the most. Responding to these invitations takes you beyond your comfort zone, inviting transformation and an enlarged understanding of yourself, others, and the holy. I love that because in throughout the book, he refers to God's spirit, the universe, his higher power as the holy. The perceived risk compared to what you imagine to be certainly may tempt you to decline the invitation, but don't say no just yet. And now starting on the front as you're, no, not yet. Stay with me. One more paragraph. When you clutch at the imagined certainties of your life, you keep life at bay and drain and distance yourself from your journey with the holy. To turn back from the risky invitations of your journey is to trifle with life by willingly denying yourself the fullness of who you are meant to be. I'll go on with the rest of the quote from the book in a minute, but consider this concept of the imagined certainties. Remember a few years ago when General Motors declared bankruptcy? Remember when the big banks were teetering on the edge? Your Bank of America stock was worth, didn't it get down to like a dollar and a quarter or something? These most amazing foundations, and I use that word in quotation marks, that so many people put their the guarantee of their future and the guarantee of their security on, outside themselves, by the way, all of a sudden weren't so secure. The imagined certainties. Sometimes a relationship changes. I'm going to be in this relationship forever, and that person's income and that person's wealth is the source of my good, and everything's going to be fine. And then they up and leave, or then they up and die, or something happens, and that experience changes, and that where we thought was our source and our security is shaken up. Now continuing from the book, and you'll see this on the front of your bulletin, I promise. As you cease to clutch at what you know, you will come to appreciate your journey with new tenderness. Living with unclenched hands frees you to be partners with the holy. The risky invitations are much more than a surprise disrupting your familiar patterns. They are a gift connecting you with others in new mindfulness about what it means to be fully human. In accepting risky invitations, your transformation switches on a light by which you see the journey ahead with new eyes. Now, keep in mind that the word risky, we are never at risk. We know that we are always divinely guided and protected and all is well. But our ego will say, how in the world could you do that at your age? Or, oh my God, what are you going to do? Or any of those things. As I was writing this, as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about the concept of up and moving. And the McVeighs are getting ready to do that very thing. And you know, Pam and John Chapman last year did that. And Melissa Greenberg did that, moving from one coast to another. How in the world can you do that? And Melissa did it with two kiddos, but and yet, and this has got to stop, and in no way am I suggesting that anybody else do this or I'm going to have a temper tantrum, but I get it. Because and you've heard the story, and some of you were around back then when it happened. Jerry and I moved from San Diego to Boston in 1994. Thank you. I was born and raised here. I know where the grocery store is. I know where the bank is. I know where the tortillas are in the grocery store. In 1994, they didn't sell tortillas in the grocery store in Boston. Can you imagine? No, because there's no need. They don't do Mexican food. Didn't do Mexican food. You can't buy wine in the grocery store, and you can't buy wine anywhere on the weekend. Amazing. And yet, it was, make me the list of the top 10 things in my life that I've done that have absolutely blown the doors off, that was the most amazing, in a good way, experience of my life, and that's one of them. You go to a city I had been there once, Jerry had never been there. So we jumped right into the experience of the holy, the experience of the divine. Where are you going to live? Well, two or three people gave us suggestions. Well, look here. We don't want to look here. They didn't know what they were talking about. But we were divinely guided to that place, and divinely guided to that place because we said yes to the risky invitation that it's time for something new. And not planting this seed by any stretch of the imagination, but 2 years later, it was time to come back. And we planted those seeds, and the universe said, oh, okay. And we got to move back. And oh, by the way, it was a job transfer, and the company paid for everything going and paid for everything coming back. It was an amazing experience because we said yes to the risky invitation. But like we talked about last week, moving to a new state doesn't necessarily require packing boxes. It just means having a new thought, a new idea. We can use this gift of imagination that we've been talking about to say yes to the risky invitation of releasing an old story. My Wednesday night book study is doing The Neville Reader by Neville Goddard, and the chapter that we're going to be reading for this Wednesday night talks about revising the past. What an interesting concept. And he talks about going back and looking at it again and changing the story about it. And I was reminded that on June 23rd, I would have been married to my wife for 36 years, which is remarkably depressing because that means our son is 35. How in the world did that happen? Amazing. Anyway, and the story that I've told and and the hurt that I had, because it was the separation wasn't as big a mess as it could have been, but it was a moderately sized mess. But I can go back and change that story. It's a risky invitation to go back and change the story, because very often we massage that, and we use that in our victimhood, and we use that in our story, and we use that in the poor me, and we use that in excuse that I can't do that because that happened. It's risky sometimes to go back and change that story. Wow. The true story is my ex-wife felt the need for a baby, which she got. I felt the need to pretend that I was somebody other than who I am, which is what I got. So the truth is, we were doing that wonderful dance. We both needed each other, and all was well. But that releases all the guilt, all the junk, all the victimhood, and gives us the opportunity to forgive and move on. It's a risky invitation to release an excuse. Well, it's heredity. Well, I just don't have time. Well, I'm, again, too old, too young, don't have enough money, whatever it is. It's a risky invitation because we got to release that worn out excuse. But as Debbie Fultura sung earlier, who is in the way? Singed? Anyway, when she did what she did earlier, who's in the way but me? I love that really spoke to me, because in my life, whatever it is I'm choosing to experience, if I'm not experiencing it yet, who's in the way but me? Nobody. It's a risky invitation to change. It requires us sometimes to fall down and get up. The other book I looked at for my talk this morning, the title is The Exquisite Risk. I love the concept of that, by Mark Nepo. And he talks about his friend sharing a story that I didn't mark. One moment. Here we go. More recently, my dear friend Robert told me about a self-induced fall. It was a snowy night, and Robert was recalling the time 2 springs ago when he was determined to paint the family room. Up early, he was out the door to the hardware store gathering the gallons of red, the wooden mixing sticks, the drop cloths, and the one-time brushes that always harden no matter what you soak them in. Back home, he mixed the paint outside and waddled to the door with a gallon in each hand, the drop cloth under his arm, and a wide brush in his mouth. He began to chuckle in telling what happened. I teetered there for minutes, trying to open the door, not wanting to put anything down. I was so stubborn. I had the door almost open when I lost my grip, stumbled backwards, and wound up on the ground, red gallons all over me. At this point, he laughed at himself, as he has done many times, and we watched the snow fall in silence. I thought of his little story the whole way home. Amazingly, we all do this, whether with groceries or paint or with the stories we feel determined to share. We do this with our love, with our sense of truth, even with our pain. It's such a simple thing, but in a moment of ego, we refuse to put down what we carry in order to open the door. I love the concept of that. I used to do that at our other church location. I've got all this stuff. And those of you that have been with us for a long time remember that Jerry and I used to do hospitality before I became your senior minister. And I'm carrying all this stuff. And the door didn't have the door I'm going in was the front door. It didn't have the handicap thing where you could push. So I've got all this stuff and I'm in a hurry. And how many times did the cake wind up upside down in the entryway because I wouldn't put down what I was carrying in order to open the door? What an amazing lesson. We have to put down what we're carrying in order to open the door. That's risky business sometimes, but it's always been this way. But I'm used to that rock in my shoe. But I'm used to beating myself up over whatever it is. But I'm used to feeling bad or sad or guilty or hurt or afraid or whatever. But I have to put it down so I can open the door. It's risky business sometimes to use the serenity prayer and feel it and know it and accept it so that we can change what we can, to accept what we can't change, and the wisdom to know the difference. How often do we keep beating, if I could just change this? And we can't. Denial is not just the place and not just the river in Egypt. It's also sometimes the place where we reside, if it could just be different. But it's not. It's a risky invitation to accept and have the wisdom to know the difference. It's a risky invitation to speak up. And this week has been so amazing. This week in South Carolina, in the midst of the hurt and the anger and the heartbreak that Cliff talked about earlier, there is the moving forward in releasing the Confederate flag. I can't imagine how it feels to go and see the Confederate flag still flying. Because, you know, that's what the Civil War was fought over, that somehow slavery is good and right and okay. And I don't know about y'all, but my perception of this is, in the releasing of this, we release it and say no. That we are all worthy. That we are all Americans, period. So to me, it's solely my perception, but my perception is this is big stuff in the South. Because I've been through, you know, Georgia and South Carolina and some states where they're still flying the Confederate flag, for heaven's sake. And you know what the Supreme Court said. And it doesn't, and in case you don't know, the Supreme Court ruled that liberty and justice for all, we mean that when we say that. And so there is marriage equality on all 50 states. It doesn't affect us in California because we've had it for a few years. But my friends in Georgia and Tennessee and Mississippi and Texas who said there's no way in the world this would ever happen, it's happened. It's the most amazing thing. And these things are happening because somebody said yes to the risky invitation that just because it's always been this way doesn't mean it still has to be this way. Hot dog. How wonderful that somebody said, and some other somebody said, that just because it's always been this way, it doesn't have to still be this way. Another millisecond. What an amazing, amazing week. It's risky business for us to look, or it's a risky invitation. It's a risky invitation for us to look at how it's always been and say, I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to have that challenge anymore. I don't want to tell that story anymore, because it's all about change. And change is scary, but change is wonderful and absolutely necessary. It requires courage. One of my top five favorite authors, as you probably know, is Stephanie Dowrick, and in the book Forgiveness and Other Acts of Love, she talks about this experience of courage. Our saying yes to the risky invitation, whatever it is in our lives, requires courage. But Stephanie says, courage can be patient, a silent tenant in your heart that doesn't stir until it's needed. But that is only one face of courage. It is also energetic, daring, playful, imaginative, creative. No work of art is created without it. No feat of invention or exploration. No sporting success. No justly negotiated settlement. That's one of the reasons we dream about it, admire it, idealize those people who personify it, and wish we could have more of it ourselves. But the truth is, in this moment, you have all the courage you will ever have. You have all the power, all the imagination, all the possibility that we will ever have is right here, right now, in this moment. So my question for us is, what risky invitation? What change? What releasing? What embracing are we ready to say yes to today? Recognizing there's never a risk. If this doesn't come out the way we thought, we'll do something else. We'll do it a different way, knowing that what we're looking for is the end result. I want financial security, for example. How will it come to me? In 100 different ways, but when we limit it to that it's got to be a job, or it's got to be a job that looks like this, or it's got to be a situation that looks like this, then we limit the possibilities that the universe has for us. Rather than saying, I gratefully accept my financial good, however it comes, and let the universe do, let the holy do what the holy does, which is love us and support us and always say yes to us. So I'd like to close with that second paragraph on the front of your bulletin. And again, this is from A New Way to Be Human by Robert V. Taylor. The risky invitations that life offers to each of us present us with choices to accept or decline them. It is in accepting them, often not knowing where exactly they will lead us, that our intuition and imagination cheers us on. As much as we are loved for our existence, we are enlivened as we allow imagination to be an active partner in saying yes. And so in this moment, I invite you to bring up into your mind's eye, what would you do? What would you be? What would you have if you said yes to the risky invitation? If you said yes to releasing a believe in lack or struggle? If you said yes to forgiving whatever it is that needs to be forgiven, either within yourself or someone else? What would you have? What would you do, be, or have if you said yes and allowed? Because that's all we're ever doing. If you allowed the holy to bring that to you, what would you do, be, or have? Today, we allow ourselves to say yes to those, quote, risky, end of quote, invitations, knowing that it's just our imagination. It's just the still small voice. It's just the holy saying yes, but there's so much more for you. We say yes, yes. For our time together this morning, we give great thanks. And together we say, and so it is.